Hope waits, and by the grace of God, hope floats. I didn't learn how to swim until I was in college and I took a PE class. But I thank God every day that even though I'm a pathetic swimmer, that I know how to float on my back, on my stomach, and in my faith, my God-given faith. I want you to think tonight about real hope. Not a veneer hope, not a fake or a phony hope, but an imperishable hope, what St. Peter calls a living and abiding hope, an eternal hope, a forever hope. This is the beginning of the good news, the gospel, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Genesis, the new creation, the gospel, that Jesus is Lord. Hope has a name, and his name for you is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, no matter how despairing life may become, no matter how hopeless the circumstances may be in life. Do you know, did Mary know, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, that he came to die on the cross, and that he would rise, and that his resurrection would give us birth into a living hope, what St. Peter says is an imperishable inheritance, unfading and unfailing. Forever, kept in heaven for you who are guarded by faith, you who have been born again into a living hope. Hope floats because hope is always anchored in Jesus Christ. Real hope, authentic hope, not, well, I hope so. Maybe, perhaps, we'll see, not possibilities or probabilities, not let's roll the dice and see what happens. But what the gospel wants to give you, what the scriptures will proclaim from Genesis to Revelation, is that God has hope for you. And that hope is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in Jesus may not perish. But imperishability, have eternal life, the mortal immortality, the finite, the infinite. Real, authentic hope for you. In our epistle reading for tonight from 2 Peter, and keep in mind what Peter went through. If there was ever one that might wanted to despair or give up hope or consider himself a lost cause, Peter knows what he's talking about when he says, I've got a living hope for you, his name is Jesus. When he says, it's an imperishable inheritance, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, because God is guarding you through faith for a salvation that is ready and eager to come right now. Peter knows when he says in his second letter, I don't want you not to know something important. Just the facts, ma'am. Well, here's the fact, Peter says. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. And a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Now, you see, these Christians in Asia Minor, they had been waiting for like 30, 40 years, and loved ones were passing away, and people said, this is just a hoax. I mean, I know everybody says, Jesus promised, I'm going to come back again, parousia, but it's just a cruel joke. It's not happening. And you know what was happening? The people in Asia Minor said, we might as well just do as we please. Sexual immorality, idleness. And Peter says, don't you know? Let me share a fact with you. God keeps time differently. In fact, you think God's slow? You know why Jesus hasn't come back yet? because he doesn't want anyone to perish. You talk about a love. God is so loving, he doesn't want anyone to perish, and so Jesus is waiting so that all of creation can come to repentance, can come to the awareness and the knowledge that Jesus is Lord. That's why God's waiting. Hope floats. It doesn't sink. It doesn't have an expiration date on it. Hope, real hope, is what God has for you. 1,000 years like a day. A day like 1,000 years. If you've read the Chronicles of Narnia, you know that in Narnia, it runs on a time of its own. Jimmy grew up on a farm. I grew up on a farm. Jimmy grew up on a farm. As a young boy, you know what he loved to do? Go out into the pastures, and he'd lay in that bright sun on that kind of slanted hill, and he'd look up at the clouds at all of those formations. And one day, he says, "God, are you really there?" And to his surprise, a voice spoke to little Jimmy. "Yeah, I sure am. What do you need, Jimmy?" "Wow. I got a couple questions. So, like, what's 1,000,000 years to you?" And God says, well, he understood that Jimmy probably couldn't comprehend to infinity and beyond. So he says, well, it's like this, Jimmy. 1,000,000 years is like 1 minute to me. And Jimmy says, wow. He says, so how about $1,000,000 to you? What's that like? And God says, well, $1,000,000, that's like a penny to me. And Jimmy thinks about this, and he says, God, you're generous. Would you just give me one of your pennies? And God said, of course I will, Jimmy. Just a minute. Just a minute. What Peter is saying is a word that we need to hear also. God is not slow. There's only one reason why God is waiting, and that God has such a love for his creation that he wants everyone to know hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And so, God is forbearing. He waits, wanting people to come to repentance, which is the message of John the Baptizer. He preaches a baptism of repentance so that all can know the one who is greater than John, the thong of whose sandal he's not worthy to untie. Read Romans if you want to know about this God-given hope that has a name, Jesus, the name above every name. In Romans 5, St. Paul says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we stand in this grace by faith. And we have the hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in this hope, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's real hope. God-given hope, not the cheap veneer varieties that the world is going to sell you for a price. Don't be fooled. Don't be idle. Don't engage in all kinds of sexual immorality. What kind of lives ought we to live, Peter says. He knows what he's talking about. He's fallen plenty of times. all godliness. Live the life of Jesus. That's what hope does. Hope floats because the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is our buoyancy. You see? Real hope. When I was 19 years old, I worked at a Bible camp, Luther Crest in Grantsburg, Wisconsin. My dad, journeyman plumber, eighth grade education, he was working up in Superior, Wisconsin. He'd come home on the weekends, and our Bible camp staff, we'd go out and we'd sing in churches on Sunday mornings, and then we'd be with the kids during the week. On one particular Sunday, we were going to my home congregation in Richmond, Wisconsin, First Lutheran Church, and so my dad on his way home picked me up on a Friday night. We rode together, and then I rode back up to camp on Sunday with the staff. My dad was a quiet man. With an eighth grade education, he wouldn't read scripture, he wouldn't usher, he never made my mom a church widow. He was a good man. He was a good man. And on the way coming home, he didn't talk about his faith or about God very much. He was a quiet man. But he said, "How's Bible camp? How's it going with at camp, being a counselor?" And pretty soon we started talking about God and about the good news of salvation. And my dad spoke a word that still haunts me to this day, which is probably why we need ambassadors of hope, like Mark, like John the Baptist, like St. Peter, like St. Paul. My father said this to me. He said, "Well, you know, I guess I can only hope because I don't think I've done enough. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm going to make it." And I looked at my dad and I said, "Of course we're not good enough, but God is good enough. Good enough to send his only son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Believe in Jesus." That's all God says. Believe in Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. An imperishable hope. A hope that floats, right? This past week, a friend of mine surrendered in a memorial service his father-in-law. I wasn't at the funeral, but I know that at a funeral you need to hear about Jesus, because there is no other hope. There is not Christmas without Jesus. It's just a fake. It's an imposter. Well, I don't know what was preached at this funeral, this memorial service, but I do know that Bob, everything he purchased, he wrote his initials on it, R-O-T. You know what that spells? Rot. And he dated it. Because everything in this world is perishable. Everything is going to die. Except the love of God in Christ Jesus for you. The death and resurrection of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That is eternal and forever. That is an eternal hope. So here's what I would have said. I would have said, "You know what? Bob liked to put his initials on everything, and all those that's going to do is rot. But you know, God likes to put his name on things too. Like the things that he's made, like you. And when God engraves your name on his palms, when God writes your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world, before mom and dad got married and even thought about having a son, we're talking about a hope that floats. That is forever." My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, no merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood, sustain me in the raging flood. When all supports are washed away, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hope. Romans 8, Paul says, in this hope we are saved. Who hopes for what they see? Hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. That's Romans 8. Do you know how that ends? Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus. You see? This is the hope that God has for you. It's not like a lifesaver that you put in your mouth and enjoy the sweetness for a while and then it perishes and it's gone forever. No, God has an imperishable hope for you. Don't settle for anything less. Hope floats. It is in Mark chapter 1. In the opening verse, chapter 1, verse 1 of the Gospel of Mark, that Mark will proclaim what the rest of the 16 chapters will reveal. It is like the theme. It's an announcement that's non-negotiable. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You already know the end of the story before you get to verse 2. Isn't that amazing? Now, in the first century, there were lots of good newses. There was lots of gospels. You know what's unique about the New Testament? In the New Testament Greek, the word evangelion, good news, gospel, is always, always in the singular, not in the plural. Why? Because hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And all the other good newses are only temporary. When I came to town here 4 years ago, I wrote an article that I thank God for every day. They put it in the Post Bulletin. Everybody was talking about DMC. My article was DMC squared or cubed. Destination, ministry, Christ-centered compassion. And some of you read that article, and you know where my heart is. If people come to Rochester or live in Rochester and all we can give them is probabilities and possibilities, an extension of time, a little reprieve, don't get me wrong. You know, an extra 6 months, an extra 6 years, that's not bad. But it's also not hope. If we can't give them Jesus when they come to this town, then we are selling them short. And we are not speeding on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Hope floats. It was November 14th, 2002. A student by the name of Lindsay was at the University of Minnesota. She was driving to Lino Lakes, a suburb of the Twin Cities. She had a one-car accident, flipped it over upside down in a ditch that was filled with water. She was underwater, unconscious for 10 minutes. And when people passed by and they saw it, they stopped. They had to slice the seatbelt and shoulder belt to get her out of that submerged vehicle. And they started working CPR on it while somebody was calling 911 for the ambulance to come. And then a young woman named Tammy, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, stop and pray for Lindsay. And she did. And while they were waiting for the ambulance, they kept working on Lindsay. They got her to the hospital. Her body temperature was a little under 80. I didn't know this at the time, but evidently they can't officially pronounce you dead, even though there was no brain activity, even though she was biologically deceased, until your body temperature comes back to normal. Karen's shaking her head. She works at the medical stuff. I'm trusting that this is true. That's right, Julie? Yeah, see, isn't it great to have people that are in medical community? Now you know that what I'm telling you is a fact. They're working on her, waiting for the body temperature to come up so that they can clock it and say the official time, right, of departure. And she woke up without any harm, without any injury. She woke up. You think hope doesn't float? Tammy was praying in the name of Jesus for a miracle to happen. And by the grace of God, hope was restored. Hope floats. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun so longed for, o'er this benighted sphere, with hearts and hands uplifted, we long, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.